Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Hey, yeah, fun, wow. Welcome to the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. Transitown Jeep Ram, Buffalo's home for Jeep and Ram for 60 years and counting. I'm Derek Kramer. He's Zach Jones. And boy, do we have a game to go over with all of y'all.
Was that the worst game of the year by far?
Yes.
I was going to say, it's the worst game this year. I was wondering if it was by far. I think it's by far, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
If I want to speak on like a personal anecdote on this, the only other contender is the Atlanta game.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And while we did not walk out of this building until 3 the heck a.m., after that loss, there was at least a bye week.
Right.
And I guess if I want to stay on the personal side of things here, yeah, walking out of the building at 3 a.m. stinks. Being here at 7 a.m. while still battling a little thing here, I've got cough drops for days. And having that as my treatment, that's not great either.
No, that's one of the more lifeless performances we've seen from the Bills in a long time. They drop games. I mean, we've talked about it. They've lost right. 2 games in a row every year under McDermott and Allen. I mean, they did it all the way going back to the bye. It's not out of the realm of possibility. You play 17 of these games. It is just more a team you traditionally dominate, a team that is not having a good year and is injured as well in key spots. They've also offloaded some talent on their defense because they're a team that is floundering and is looking towards a rebuild, dominated you. It was never really a close contest. I mean, yeah, at one point it's 16-0, and I know the Bills maybe make it a little interesting there before Devon Achane scores more touchdowns, but it was never a competitive football game. They looked all out of sorts the whole afternoon. They looked absolutely lost offensively, both scheme-wise and just the players on the field. Allen, for much of the game, looks uncomfortable and is making poor throws. He eventually makes some Allen plays. There's a few of them that are vintage Josh Allen. But for the most part, this game is horrendous. And it's disheartening, I think, for me, Derek, especially, because this, and I mentioned it earlier this week, how deflating the trade deadline felt because it came after the Kansas City win, but Michael Hoyt gets hurt. And you're like, okay, but they can make up for it by adding a piece, whether it be on defense or wide receiver. I didn't really care. And they don't do anything. And it was like, okay, but they're still 6-2, and they're playing the Dolphins, who they traditionally beat up on. And now the issues kind of just are compiling, and we haven't even mentioned it is a third straight game in which they have a crucial key player get hurt. Maybe it's not for the season, but Dalton Kincaid picks up a hamstring injury. And when that man is out of the passing game, it goes from not very good to anemic. They cannot move the ball until these prayer plays that start happening with Josh Allen where, yeah, the Dolphins are more in prevent defense. They're just trying to close out this game. Because let's be honest, there were points with like 5-6 minutes left in the game. I was stunned that Cook and Allen were still in the contest.
Yeah.
I mean, Hawes' touchdown, good for him. It's the second of his career. It's a complete garbage time touchdown. They still count it. Don't matter. But just, it was so lifeless. And for a team that should not have that emotional come down, because you are in a close division race with New England, who is playing at the same time as you, and you're in a battle with them. Instead, they just come out, and it never looks like they're prepared today, both coaching-wise and then playing-wise. Because that's the thing. The coaches can only do so much. It's the guys on the field that are making the plays.
Right.
And to that point, there wasn't much there either. The defense looked exhausted early in that game, in part because they couldn't get off the field. I mean, Devon Achane, the Dolphins have figured out who the Bills' killer is.
Yep.
They've only won one of these last three matchups, but it's been the last three matchups where the Dolphins have had the best bet at getting the Bills. They finally do, and it's through him. 22 for 174 and two touchdowns, and he also adds six catches for 51 yards. He is a monster against the Bills today. Cole Bishop has a nice pick early. Max Harrison has another one late to maybe make it an interesting game. But it never really gets to that point that it's actually interesting. This is a disheartening loss because the division now looks like it is going to be – it's going to have to be one of those Herculean efforts like you had, surprisingly, against these Dolphins from a few years ago. The problem is Drake May is not Tua Tagovailoa. He's just not. Mike Vrabel is not Mike McDaniel. And that schedule is not the schedule the Dolphins were dealing with.
While that schedule that the Dolphins were dealing with did ultimately – trip them with the weakest team.
The
on
weakest
their
team
docket.
Gets them. Tennessee. It's a wild fourth quarter comeback for Tennessee.
It's the weakest team on their docket that gets them. The Patriots have a whole schedule of them, so there's not really much makeup ground you can have at this point because they're doing what you didn't. They took advantage of weak opponents. The Patriots have done what you could not. And I say that in a sense because, like, yeah, Miami had two wins coming into this game. And Atlanta was a frustrating one. Before the game, I'm thinking, okay, Atlanta's probably, like, the biggest jerks in all of society right now because the Bills lose to Atlanta. Then Atlanta misses an extra point to try to beat New England or tie it up with them. And then they don't knock off the Colts either. So it's like, okay, Atlanta are just like some of the biggest jerks of all time. I understand, Bulldog. I understand it now. The hatred for the Atlanta Falcons, I'm here for it. I also hate the Titans for no reason. So I was already there for it. But this is a game that, yeah, I think the word is disheartening is the right way to say it. And I remember I said something a couple of weeks ago when I was on Bills game day with Nate Geary. Nate had said something about trade deadline acquisitions. And I remember saying something that, like, I didn't know how I felt about it. But when I said it, I did kind of mean it in a harsh sense of the term. I said, is this the team you really want to go all out for right now? This season's team. Granted, they don't do anything at the trade deadline, but I'm kind of thinking that it's the case. Is this the team you really wanted to hitch the wagon to and say, F them picks and forfeit the future? No. This is not the team to do that with this year. Because there is one thing that has happened in all three of the losses that the Bills have had. If a team sells out to stop the run, you can get them. And when you have Josh Allen as the quarterback, why is it that what I'm saying is if you stop the run, you can get them? It is a two-pronged thing. where the general manager and the offensive coordinator have taken the team that I watch weekly and turned them into the Tennessee Titans.
They are built to win through the run. I mean, and to be fair with that, that's where I thought they would beat the Dolphins. Not, you know, maybe handedly, and I even said dominantly earlier today, and that's right. Probably aggressive. I think the line closed today at 8-point favorites for the Bills, but road 8-point favorites, that was still a big spread. And yet they never got the run game going. Cook goes 13 for 53. They never able to get that going. And when they can't, you're right. They all of a sudden, it becomes a scramble drill almost, where they're just kind of like, wait, what do you mean we can't do that? We don't have an off-speed pitch. We have nothing else to go to.
If I told you before this game that Josh Allen goes, and I'll find a way to tie this in, by the way, as we go eye on the quarterback, it's brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. And now with the eye on the quarterback, if I told you before this game, Zach, you're sitting in that chair and I'm sitting here, and I suddenly had this like weird glow in my eyes, like I had someone from the future tell me what's going to happen here with Josh Allen. And I just blurt out to you on game day, Josh Allen's going to go 28 of 40, 306, two touchdowns and an interception.
Yeah, I'm probably thinking they won.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I'm probably thinking they won.
Right.
Allen against the Dolphins. Here you go. It's going to be one of his vintage games against them. Yeah.
There is also the fumble lost. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you're thinking to yourself, yeah, if I hear that stat line coming from Josh Allen, it means it was a great day. Right? No. Because the rest of the division then says, you also lose by 17.
And you're down 16-0.
And you're
never in the contest.
And you would think that I would need to go to a clinical trial. Have you lost sleep? What is wrong with you?
It doesn't help either when you compare that to Tua's numbers. 15 for 21, 173, two touchdowns, two picks. Again, those quarterback stats, the Allen fumble kind of changes the conversation, but if you're just looking at the passing stats, that looks like a traditional Bills-Dolphins game where the Bills beat them. And the Dolphins are scrambling. Tua has some bad turnovers. And I'm not saying he didn't have bad turnovers.
Whether he did.
But that points to they probably win the game. Instead, they don't score their first points until the fourth quarter.
They don't score any of their points.
They don't score any points until the fourth quarter when the Dolphins realistically are just kind of trying to kill out the game. They won it.
And the CBS broadcast made sure to mention this. This is the first time that the Bills have lost by multiple possessions to an AFC East foe since 2018 when they were rebuilding.
Yeah, and that is the rebuild year. It's not even the, oh my gosh, they made the playoffs. It's the following year. It's Allen's rookie year.
It's the reset year. That is the last time that they lost by double digits to a division foe. So when they lose an infuriating game to a division opponent over the last 5 years, it's usually close. This was not that. And I'm still always going to be the don't get too high, don't get too low type of guy. They are 6-3. They're probably going to be the 5 seed if things play out the way that they do for the postseason. The thing I am going to be upset about, though, is, man, it's kind of a slap in the face of the last year of that building being up.
Yeah, they're. It's looking like they won't have a playoff game there. They could change, but
up the crackpot scenario of like the Bills and the Chiefs somehow square off in the championship game. But the way that both of those teams are playing with their consistency, I don't know if that's going to happen. In particular, Buffalo. But my issue here is now, I can't constantly bring myself to get up to talk about wide receiver, and yet almost every week, it shows up as an issue. And I'm tired, man.
It's exhausting.
I'm tired.
It's exhausting that they have a team that does not value the position.
I've got a wide receiver big board creeping over my shoulder like I owe it money.
Uh-huh. That's actually the right way to put it. Yeah, yeah. But they seem to not value the position at weird times and then really value it. Again, if the Tom Pelissero – and we're going to get your calls here in just a moment, 803-0550. Get your thoughts on the game here. But just the last thing on this, it's weird. They don't add any of it in the offseason. You know, Brandon Bean builds up a lot that they added Josh Palmer. And yet middle of the season, they do kind of what many of us thought they wouldn't do, which was – change everything. Go away from everybody eats and spreading the ball, not getting a number one, because there's reports today from Tom Pelissero that they were ready and willing to give up a first-round pick for Jaylen Waddle. They were ready to throw it all in the fire and go, nope, we were wrong. Silently, because they're not going to outright say it. And even McDermott today, too, when questioned, you know, do you think this is a championship roster? He goes, I think, to the correct answer. I love these guys. I love these players. I understand that. And Bean, same thing, is not going to outright bash his players. But they were ready to throw it in the fire. But it's been 2 years since you've gotten rid of Stephon Diggs. And the biggest contribution you've made to that group has been Keon Coleman in the second round. And good for him. He had a touchdown today. He was, for the most part, completely silent for the last 6 weeks.
And even then, his target share, or his target percentage.
No. Uh-huh.
Zach, he had 8 targets. He came down with 3 catches.
Yeah, 3 catches. Well, because, I mean... goodness gracious, we don't go to that back shoulder throw. What are we doing here? I mean, if you don't go to that at least 2 or 3 times a game, it's not a Bills game. It's not a Bills game in 2025.
Do me a favor. The next time I see that play, there's that foam football in the producer room. I need you to punt it at my shin as hard as you can the next time I see that play.
Listen, more or less, just I'll give you a warning.
No.
Just let you know, like, avert just do your it. Eyes.
Like, I'll see the play, I'll stand up, and I'm just waiting for the football.
And this is all just on the offense that we're complaining about. The defense was also its own issue. We'll get to that as we go. We've got, you know, we're here until 8. We'll take your calls. We'll get to all of it. The Bills do drop this one to the Dolphins, 30-13.
We're here with you for a while.
Yeah. Next up for the Bills, it does not get any easier as well. They are going to be hosting the Tampa Bay Bucks 1 p.m. next Sunday. First up for today, again, 803-0550. The number to call I want to jump on is John on the line. John, how are we doing, man?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Long-time listener, first-time caller. The last thing I want to do after that defeat is add insult to injury, but the Dolphins have 4 corners on IR,
yep.
And Rasul Douglas did not play.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can't get open against this, that terrifies me for the rest of the season. And then I just had a quick question for you guys. So we saw Bean make a ton of extensions. I would argue with anybody that Cook is the second best player on the team. I'm not sure why he got the last extension. I'd love to hear you guys' feedback on that. Thank you.
Right. John, that's funny
it's
to bring
kind
up
of funny
on the secondary thing. That is true. That's why I'm bringing up, like, the Dolphins defense seemed ripe for the picking where the Bills could have continued on from what they had looked like post bye, which is they looked like they had figured their bleep out. Where now all of a sudden it looks good, everything looks on time, the offense for the most part is healthy. They are missing Josh Palmer. I don't want to ignore that. But for the most part, it looks healthy. And today was just all of the first half of the season issues compounded together, where all of a sudden they were turning the ball over a little bit more. Allen's taking bad sacks. No one is getting open. And yeah, you're right to bring up, like, this is a secondary that was also injured. Then they also don't have Chop Robinson, an edge rusher. They've lost Jalen Phillips. This is not a good defense, and yet the Bills couldn't really do anything against them. Then you go to the extensions. I mean, 2 of the extensions have been good so far through the first half. We'll just say first season.
Are both of them on offense?
It's Khalil Shakir and James Cook. Cook, funny enough, yeah, is the last one, and he has been more than worth the money. I mean, this is his best season by far. He did not have a good game today. That does not change the fact of what he's been this season. He has been incredible all year. And Shakir is their reliable slot receiver that I don't think they use enough. But defensively, the extensions all there have been bad. Benford doesn't play today, but Bernard, most of the season, has gotten gashed by opposing offenses. He is brutal in coverage most of this year.
And he's missing a lot of tackles.
He's missing a lot of tackles. Greg Rousseau has not taken that step forward that you thought, okay, like the underlying stats last year were pointing to, hey, he's going to have a progression of the year. He's going to, you know, regress to the median, better way to put it probably. But he had a lot of pressures that pointed to he's going to actually get some sacks this year. That has not been the case at all. Bosa has been their best edge rusher. AJ Epenesa has been one of their best pass rushers. Greg Rousseau was sort of a kind of forgotten guy there. Benford, though, even when he is playing, hasn't been good this year. It has not been what he was last year, where he was kind of just outright considered one of the most underrated corners in the sport. Remember when the top 10 of each position was coming out and we were all having a hoopla because he didn't get even honorable mention votes?
Right.
This year, that looks like that guy where you're sitting there going, yeah, no, I get it.
No, it makes sense.
The extensions have not gone well. It has not been a positive at all. And yeah, again, today they go up against a defense in Miami that most signs pointed to should be able to take them down. They should be able to get after them and get after them early. And instead, it was one of the ugliest starts of the season they've had. And they've had some bad starts this year. They have not gotten off to the races in a lot of these games. Today felt just – they were stunned they were playing today. That's how it felt. They were stunned they were playing this afternoon.
And yet, the first drive of the game is a terrible throw by Tua. It's an awful throw that Bishop plucks in the air. I mean, if there's one player on the defense that I can look at and go, okay, you were not terrible today. It was Cole Bishop.
But even he had some missed tackles, too.
He had some missed tackles
well. Again reared their ugly head, and he's a part of them.
He's part of them. But ready? What do I always say about if a safety leads a team?
Right, that means we had a real problem.
We had a bad day.
Yeah.
We had a bad day. Zach, both safeties led your team in tackles.
Yeah, see, Devon Achane having 174 yards will do that to you. That is going to happen.
But that tells me that the second level is just, it's not good. And I look at the player that had the extension and I go, what is going on with Terrell Bernard? You are the captain of the defense. And it is not working. But the second level is not getting it done. The missed tackles from him, Milano, and the like. When Shaq Thompson's out, the linebackers look like a mess. Why? And there's not much that Bobby Babich nor Sean McDermott can they do about that if the players are missing the tackles. You have to be better. And when I say that last year's problems are this year's problems, it has to do with the run game. And it has to do with the middle of the field.
Yeah.
The linebackers are proving to not be good enough to be dependable in run support.
It's where you're getting Shaq Thompson for much of this year has actually been their best linebacker. He doesn't play today, but he's been, inarguably your best linebacker.
It's not an accident. They haven't been run all over in the last two games.
Yeah, he's been a better factor in the run defense. Let's go back to the phones. Mike is up next. Mike, how are we doing tonight?
Yeah, how you doing, guys? I just have a few questions for you. For a guy who lives in Florida whose air conditioner died today, I thought watching the Bill game would make me feel better, but it didn't, of course.
I'm sorry.
Really quick questions, okay? For the trade, I think giving up a fourth and a sixth for Rashid Shaheed would have been unbelievably good, and getting a defensive player also. Because Bean says he didn't want to go all in and all this other stuff, and you can't go in blind. Imagine if we had Chase and Higgins, we would have no losses. That's number one. Number two, it bothered me what McDermott said today, like you said, and he also said when asked what the problem was, I have no answer for this. I have to find it. You and I and everybody else, all of the Bills fans, can see what the problem is. We needed a receiver and a defensive player. The receiver basically takes the pressure off of Josh Allen. And when we had Palmer in there with Kincaid, you noticed that they couldn't double each one of them, and we were playing fine until Palmer got hurt. Then the other question is, they made a comment in the last game that we are the team with the least 20-plus yard passes. That's horrible for a person with Josh. We're wasting Josh Allen's talent. Gilliam, the fullback, I didn't see play today. And the game plan was horrible. And one other thing that's really important, just so you know, the Chiefs game, when our offense was playing well, if the defense fed off of it, when our defense was playing well in that game, the offense fed off of it, and they worked together. I just think that if we can get back to that, and somewhere in the free agency, we can find somebody just to take the pressure. Because what they're going to do is, when they doubled Kincaid, nobody else was open. And what they're doing is they're shutting down Cook and Kincaid. Those are our two players. Josh Allen's having a hard time, and he's going to wind up getting hurt. And I love Josh Allen. I think for Bills fans, like all of us, you go in and you give up a fourth and a sixth, and maybe you give up another, the third, if you get a really good defensive back, and we wind up going to the Super Bowl and finally winning one. I appreciate you taking my call, and I will listen to your comments, and thank you.
Mike, thanks for the call,
Mike,
man.
Mike, appreciate it.
I on the trade deadline, because I was talking with somebody, too, during the game about, because it was going to the Tom Pelissero report, and in that report, as well, I was also talking about Quinn and Williams, and he was like, I wonder if it was both. I think the problem is with the Bills cap situation. That's a whole other discussion entirely, but just to that
point. That also falls on roster construction from the general manager.
Right, and we've talked about the extensions they've given and how they're not working. It has become a frustration constantly with the defense of the guys that got the extensions are not doing enough. I don't think they could make two moves. I think that's where they ran into the problem of giving up a fourth and a sixth for Rashid Shaheed, who might just be a stopgap player. And the reason why I say it would be hard for them to do is look at the receivers they were also going after. They weren't going after Rashid Shaheed. They weren't going after a guy that was just going to fill a role on the offense, which I initially thought that's what they were going to do. That's why I was fine with it. That's not what they were going after. They were going after what they believed would be a number one, whether that be Jalen Waddle, Garrett Wilson, or Chris Olave. They were going after a guy that would dominate the target share, that would be a guy that is a focal point of your offense. That, to the caller's point, would take a little bit off the plate of Kincaid and Cook. But you saw it today. Kincaid goes down with the hamstring injury, and until late, when Miami's just trying to kind of kill out the game, the Bills can't really move the ball on offense at all. Cook can't get going. They cannot find people consistently on offense. The drive they get going in the second half is mainly due to bad defensive penalties by Miami.
Right, there's a couple of them.
And then it ends in an Allen pick in the red zone. But much of it is in reality just a bunch of defensive penalties that just move them down the field. And they just are so stiff on offense when it's not working in the run game. When James Cook is not going, they look so uncomfortable. There is no fluidity. There is no getting Elijah Moore going or Curtis Samuel going. They have a few catches in this game. I'm not denying that. But it's not the... When the team was billing Everybody Eats, that was a constant that they were pushing of, well, one day it's going to be this guy's game. Another day it's going to be. That's not the case. It is Kincaid or Cook or nobody.
Or nobody. That's kind of becoming the concerning part of it. By the way, Mike, there's a couple things, and one of them that I find fascinating is this. You mentioned the big plays, 20-plus yards. You know what's kind of sickening? They have 8 of them today.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And they're by 8 different players.
Oh, my goodness. No.
No, he says.
That's, oh,
no, I just said statistics, and you're just like, nope, not real.
Numbers are
fails. Birds aren't real. But
damn right.
The other part here is, and I'm getting delirious. Maybe it's because I need to go to sleep. But the big point here is this. When you bring up like the head coach mentioning like I've got to find the problem, McDermott is not the type to publicly blast players.
There's only a few coaches in sports that are like that.
If and only if are they absolutely deserving of it, will he go ahead and do it? The closest we got today was with Keon.
Outright mentioning, guy's got to get open. He doesn't say Keon, I don't think, deliberately, but he mentions the receiver, guy's got to get open.
But there was a question about, like, Keon, you know, having a couple struggles today, and he goes, yeah, he got that one.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a long pause.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the closest we got. Even then, it's not a heavy criticism.
No.
Don't forget, tomorrow on WGR, oh my God, this is the first time I can do an overtime show and say it's tomorrow.
Yeah, not this morning.
It's like actually tomorrow.
Later on this
actually
morning.
Actually tomorrow on WGR. It's a Buffalo Bills Football Monday presented by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe will break the game down for you in the morning at 6 a.m. Then, the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, 10 to noon. One Bills Live follows that up with Chris Brown and Steve Tasker at noon. Shope and Bulldog at 3 o'clock, featuring former Bills center Eric Wood joining Mike and Chris at 4. Then at 7:30, Westwood One presents the Eagles at the Packers for Monday Night Football. Buffalo Bills Football Monday all day tomorrow on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. We'll take a timeout, come back, go around the league, see what's going on. Not just with games that are happening right now, but what happened throughout the rest of the AFC as well. This is the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show He's Zach Jones. I'm Derek Kramer. You're listening to WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Tua back to pass. Heaves it deep down the middle of the field looking for Waddle. And it's intercepted by Maxwell Hairston. He's up on his feet to the 25, to the 30. Flag on the play and he's tripped up at the 38-yard line.
Oh, well, Chris Brown there on the call. Kudos to the guys down there in Miami where they had probably the worst setup.
Yeah. That looked rough, the booth view.
Yeah.
You're in the butt end of the stadium, like looking off.
Little did I know that was the kind of the foreshadowing of how it was going to go today.
I was going to say maybe just the desirable view is like, oh, I can't see the game. Great. Actually, I'm better off now. I am now much better off. Oh, no, my power went out. What I missed? Nothing. Move on. Congratulations. You'll go to Monday happy. Oh, by the way, it snowed as well. So have fun with that one.
Do the read.
803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here. Let's go brewing around the league. It's brought to you by Thin Man Brewery and the new Mafia Light, the official beer of the Buffalo football tailgaters. We've got some games going on right now for the 4-425 window. Only one of them is realistically close. That is the Rams and the 49ers. The Rams are up 28-14 in the fourth quarter. The 49ers do have the ball.
Oh, I'm crying.
Driving in Rams territory. Detroit, Washington. Detroit leads that game 32-16 late in the third. And then Seattle again, just getting after teams 38-15. It's been basically that score since like 5 minutes into the first quarter. That team is all over people. DeMarcus Lawrence, I believe, also had two fumble return for touchdowns today. But Sam Darnold continues to have like three incompletions for an entire game, 400 yards, whatever. Seattle the last 2 weeks have just been mauling teams, and they look like one of the best teams in football. 49ers, by the way, did convert that third down as first and goal from the 9, down 28-14 now.
All right, I'm back.
Tonight at 8 p.m. on WGR Sports Radio 550, Westwood One is going to present the Steelers at the Chargers. That is Sunday Night Football on WGR, brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case, and by Armor Heat. Do the right thing.
Behind the scenes moment here for you. We had the plan of like how the reads were going to go.
Yeah.
And then you just ended up breaking my brain.
I mean, I'm just saying, maybe you would have been better off if your power went out. Just saying, that might be true.
Well, that happened there.
Yeah.
You know, the Windows Vista reset sound? Do-do-do-do. That happened to me for a second there. Broke me. Good job.
We also had some scores in the AFC as well. It was about as bad of a day as it could have been for the Bills' chance at the one seed in the AFC East. The Colts did win in overtime. Jonathan Taylor continues to have what looks to be a runaway offense player of the year kind of year. He scores to win it in overtime against the Falcons over in Berlin, 31-25. And then the Patriots do take down the Buccaneers, 28-23. The Bucs will be coming to Buffalo next. They sit at 6-3. But now, atop of the AFC East, it is New England 8-2, Buffalo 6-3. And now it's getting to that point.
It also, the weekend also went very favorably for your out-of-division rivals that are not in a playoff position right now.
Baltimore wins as well.
Jacksonville loses, and they're the last gate keeping Kansas City out.
Mm-hmm.
They now hold the same record at 5-4. Cool weekend.
Oh, and the Sabres lost. I should mention that. Want to really mask in it. Yeah. Or bask in it. Yeah, whatever.
This is my hubris for saying fall is the lead, isn't it? This is my penance.
I'll be honest. We'll get to your calls here in just a moment.
I'm going to kick you in the groin multiple times. Hope you don't mind. Falls elite. Thanks.
I didn't think the Bills would come out this lifeless. I mean, that's the way I'm gonna go with it. It's just, I know they have injuries. I know they're somewhat limited on offense on paper. But, man, when they can't get the running game going, it looks so much worse. And today, like I was mentioning on Twitter with some listeners as well, of just the longer the game went on, and I didn't like the report immediately, but the longer the game went on, the more irritated and the more annoyed I got at the initial report, which was Bills were in on Jalen Waddle. They want to give up a 2027 first-round pick. The Dolphins wanted 26, and they wouldn't budge on that. Now, there might be more to it. I have not heard the Palacero clip if he talked about it on NFL Network or anything like that, but that's what the reporting was there. And if that's true, it bothered me then. Because if you're willing to give up a first-round pick, the year should not matter to you. You value that player high enough to do that, do it. Capitulate. Do it. You clearly think you need to, and you're clearly willing to do it. And then as the game went on, it got worse. Why? Well, we had exactly what I was fearing. I mean, he doesn't have 145 yards, but he does have he burns Max Harrison for a touchdown. Welcome to the NFL rookie kind of moment.
5 catches, 84 yards, and a touchdown later.
And he still has a great game. And it's him and Devon Achane. That is what killed you today. And look, it's one game, and it's one guy. But how does Miami look today if Waddle does go to the Bills?
How do the Bills look?
How do the Bills look?
If Waddle goes
now,
to the Bills.
Now, all of a sudden, yeah, it sucks that Kincaid went down. But this is why you went and got a first-round pick at wide receiver. This is why you effectively did a retread of the Stephon Diggs trade. Just instead of the offseason, it's in-season. And it's one game. And it may not mean anything further down the line for their Super Bowl hopes.
I do wonder.
But today they'd be 7-2, potentially. And Miami's floundering. And everything is pointing to you pushed your chips in on a team that maybe deserves it. They were 6-2. See what you got. And instead now, it feels like we are all waiting for the inevitable with them. Good job. You beat Kansas City in the regular season, like you seem to do every year. But the problems are still there.
Problems are being exposed against Miami.
A team that is wounded all over on defense and offensively. That's the thing, too. Over the last 4 weeks, they either win in stunning fashion, where actually, funny enough, we mentioned they were bad against rushing attacks. Stop Bijan Robinson. And they stopped James Cook. But then in equal measure, they're blown out in 2 of the last 4 weeks. So they've had a weird run here, but they're not a particularly talented team. Good for them. They won the game. All credit to them. and they dominated the Bills. That is not a good football team. There's a reason why their general manager was fired. There's a reason why most of us are kind of just waiting for the day Mike McDaniel is fired. There's a reason why Tua Tagovailoa every week is under fire for something he said in the media or did on a football field.
And leads the league in interceptions.
And does lead the league in interceptions. But they did win today. And I think in part for the Bills, it is just they're not evolving. They are staying still in many aspects, and it is coming to bite them. And it may not just be them. We'll get to that throughout the week, but we're starting to look at the AFC, and there's an old saying, it was more to do with the Ottoman Empire and stuff like that in Europe, but teams in the AFC, the big dogs, Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo, all feel like the sick man of Europe. They all feel old and outdated, and teams are passing them by. Not necessarily in the AFC, but if you watch NFC football, Seattle, Detroit, Green Bay, the Rams, they are front-loaded and they will run you over with talent. Their coaching is elite almost across the board. The Eagles, I didn't even mention. Look what the Super Bowl was last year. I mean, most of us acknowledge that as the Super Bowl was happening. Yeah, cool, the Chiefs got blown out. Ooh, what would have happened if we won that game? Could we really stomach being 0-5 in Super Bowls and maybe a blowout? Maybe it's not that bad of a performance, right? I'm not saying it is. But the NFC, it seems, has passed the AFC by, and Buffalo is a part of that.
803-0550, the number to call. And are we going to get to a caller here?
Yeah, let's take one here.
We'll get to a caller. We'll get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. Go Steve in Texas. Steve, welcome to the Overtime Show. What you got for us?
Hey, happy to be here, guys. And, you know, you guys are keeping the morale up, I'd certainly say. For me, it's just one of those games you have a super gross feeling after watching where you're like, oh my God, I need to take a shower. That was so nasty.
Yep.
But
mm-hmm.
that first, I knew it was kind of going to get all saucy when, you know, we had, fourth and a foot on that opening drive, and Allen's like, stay out there. And I think Campbell mm-hmm. or, you know, some of the younger guys, I'm not going for it on fourth down guy mode, but it's like, you know, you just picked them off. It's early in the game. Just go for that. Like, you know, I'm not saying they win or lose the game based on that one call, but it's like, you know, I just feel
there is a mindset to it, though, of you're going to win the game. You're not here to just settle for punts, field goals, right? I mean, you're there to win the game.
And that's a coaching thing, and I'm not like, I don't want McDermott to not be the head coach. But it's like, I'm already like, you know, like the tape on that's like, okay, you did that in the Atlanta game too this season. Mm-hmm. And you're not sending the message to your offensive players that, you know, I trust you guys. Go put them away.
Right.
So it just, that's the thing that bothers me long term from when we get to crunch time and it's one game elimination. It's like, you're going to do that when we're playing one of these teams in the playoffs, which we are a playoff team, you know, we're going to be whatever, 11-6, you know, mm-hmm. I'd sign up for that on the dotted line, but, you know, I just want to see him get healthy. And, you know, I'm afraid of seeing Isaiah McKenzie get signed here in 2 weeks. Well, that's what I'm really afraid of.
Steve, thanks for the call. I can understand that fear. I was sitting there in the third quarter going, oh boy, Gabe Davis, when he gets healthy, is going to move mountains. Yeah, that fourth down, Steve, where I initially thought you were going was the fourth down kind of just laughable play call where they're set
the
up.
The fourth and two.
Yeah, the fourth and two where they're set up like it's tush push. All of a sudden it's play action. And I think the guys on the broadcast said it too, right here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network, WGR, with Chris Brown, that it's the same play they ran against Kansas City.
And it got diagnosed
immediately.
By the way, Steve,
Jackson Hawes is not the main read there. He's not.
No.
It's either run it or dump it off. I think that's James
and
Cook.
And Miami
there.
Even thwarted the run option
uh-huh.
on that
yeah.
to a point where the safest play was potential arm punt.
Yeah.
And Allen made somehow the right call on that one. But when you mentioned the fourth and a sneeze and you punt it, I'm surprised also you didn't line up to try to go ahead and try to get them to jump. Miami had also already burned their first timeout before a second was taken off of this game. You lost this game to that?
There was a few moments in this game I actually thought, oh,
Miami lost 5 yards and their first timeout of the game before a second clicked on the clock.
Yeah, nothing was happening for a good minute and a half. Where it was just like, what's going on?
Nothing
here?
Good was happening.
No.
And then they throw that smooth brain pick and you're like, okay, fine. You lost that.
And you never held a lead.
Never
held a lead.
You lost
to
that. Anyway.
They never look good in this game.
I don't have the voice.
The Cole Bishop, honestly, I think that pick is the best play of the game purely off of the fact that it continued to run for him. And for a little while there, it felt like, yep, same old Buffalo Dolphins. Here we go. We're going to tie up the all-time series.
I don't have the voice or the energy to get into screamy mode, but holy hell, you lost to that.
803-0550, the number to call. We'll keep taking your calls here as we're going to hang out tonight. We're going to get through this. Bills fall to 6-3, and now they are squarely in second place in the AFC East with New England winning today at Tampa. Not looking great for the Bills repeating for what this would be now a sixth straight year in the AFC East. Not done yet by any means. There's still plenty of football left. For some, though, that might feel like a punishment. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Overtime Show as we break down Bills and Dolphins. This is WGR.
It's a week-to-week league. You got to bring your A game every week. We talk about that a lot. We really do. And we work our tails off during the week to come out, to your point, and play better and coach better and perform better overall. It didn't happen.
Sean McDermott there from the locker room, brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. Last segment of hour number one of the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. Transitown Jeep Ram, Buffalo's home for Jeep and Ram for 60 years and counting. I'm Derek Kramer. He's Zach Jones. We've all been with you here. Thanks for hanging out with us as we keep going here. Good news for all of you. Maybe not for us. I want to go home.
I'm good. It snowed out there. I have zero desire to go out there. It's snowing still. I have zero desire to go out there.
What do you mean still? I don't see it.
No, it's coming down. It's coming down.
It's not.
A little bit. It's a little dust. Yeah, I have no desire.
No, that's not snow.
I'm happy to keep taking calls. We'll go to Mike here before our next time out. Mike, how we doing, man? Mike, are you there? I don't think Mike is there. That's a shame.
I heard him faintly, but like it wasn't there. Try calling back, Mike.
Rick is up next. Rick, how we doing, man? Is Rick there? Oh, that's a shame. That's 0-2 on the final segment. Can John save us? John, how we doing, man?
Oh, great. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Got one. We didn't strike out. There we go. John, what do you got for us, man?
So with the inconsistent play of Coleman or Shavers or even Samuel, what do you guys think about them bringing Godsnell up? Because it seemed like during training camp, Josh was getting some pretty good rapport going with him.
I can understand it. I understand the sentiment.
No.
It's going to be Gabe Davis.
No.
If they're going to go to the practice squad, it'll be Davis. For me, and this is where I'll always go with this, and I'm like this with any sport. It's not just football. They're on the practice squad for a reason. If they were good enough to have a game day jersey, they'd be having a game day jersey. They'd be off the practice squad, what have you.
They'd be getting a call-up.
Yeah, and he's not. I don't disagree. Godsnell, I think, had the big play from training camp. I think it was, like a 50-yard shot down the field, and that was great. But he's a training camp body, and he's a practice squad body, and that's about it. This is the wide receiver room they're going to have, minus likely, when he's healthy, a Gabe Davis call-up. I imagine in the next few weeks we'll see how healthy he is. 803-0550, the number to call tomorrow on WGR. It is a Buffalo Bills Football Monday presented by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe, they got you it down in the morning. Then it's the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio from 10 to noon, followed by One Bills Live with Chris Brown and Steve Tasker at noon. Then Chopin Bulldog, 3 p.m., featuring former Bill Eric Wood at 4 p.m. Then 7:30, we've got Westwood One presenting the Eagles at the Packers on Monday Night Football. Buffalo Bills Football Monday all day tomorrow on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Don't forget, tonight at 8 on WGR Sports Radio 550, Westwood One presents the Steelers at the Chargers. Sunday Night Football on WGR is brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case and buy Armor Heat. Do it right the first time. Well, let's get right back at it for hour number two. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll take your calls on the other side here on the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show.
Here's the snap, back to pass, has time, pocket collapsing, going to roll out to his right. Fires across the middle of the field. It's complete to Hawes, who's into the end zone for a 26-yard touchdown reception.
Chris Brown on the call. Jackson Hawes.
That actually made – I want to make sure
scores,
I'm right on that.
Touchdowns against the Miami Dolphins.
That did cut it to be a 10-point game. There was some kind of life after that.
There was some kind of life after that, and as a matter of fact, I do believe Tua throws an interception after this. But then the Allen fumble happens, and we're back off the rails. So
fun times.
Fun times, super fun. Wow. I'm Derek Kramer. He's Zach Jones. This is the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. Transitown Jeep Ram, Buffalo's home for Jeep and Ram for 60 years and counting. As we are here for you after the 30-13 loss from the Buffalo Bills at the hands of the Miami Dolphins, of all teams. And I've got to say, it is interesting to know that you can lose a division game like this for the first time in a while and remember just how bad it feels.
I mean, that's the thing, too. It was always going to happen.
A privileged thing here. But.
They weren't going to go. I mean, they could have gone a whole decade without losing to them. Don't get me wrong. But
you had a chance to tie the season series or tie the all-time series up. And yeah, didn't.
This has also kind of been this season, though, where there has been a year where the Bills kind of walked in mud the whole time and struggled for the AFC. They clinch it at the end of the year, the final game against Miami. But a lot of it this year has actually been in the division. They're 2-2. It has been struggles. It has looked difficult, really outside of the Jets game. But the Patriots do something that the Dolphins hadn't done really until today, which is really punch you in the mouth. They did that earlier, which is why we're sort of in the situation we're in now. And then today, Dolphins. They've now figured out a weapon to beat the Bills, and it's Devon Achane. It took the third try with really giving him the rock and really getting the run game going, but they've figured out how to get the Bills now. They're not a good team, don't get me wrong. It took also a lot going wrong for the Bills to get this win for the Dolphins. But I think the days of even having this be a 9.5-point spread, I think, again, the game closed, I think, around 8 for the Bills. I think those days might be done.
There's only one game that I'm going to allow for that to be acceptable, and that's the Jets. And there's more to say about the Jets than the Bills.
Who won today, by the way.
Good for them.
We didn't even mention that. They do beat Cleveland 27-20.
I did in the update. You didn't hear me?
No, I'm sorry about that.
I said they doubled their win total.
They did double their win total. That's right. Justin Fields, 6-11, 54 yards, 42 of that came on a
Not
Bryce Hall
a serious quarterback.
Aye, man.
Come on, man.
Yeah, that's... He's always going to have a fan in me.
Sure. Why?
Big fan of Ohio State.
That's it.
Can't give up on them.
Give up on it. Let it be known that there are sometimes great college quarterbacks that do not make it in the NFL.
Yeah. Bills fall to the Dolphins 30-13. Their next game up, they're going to face another Florida team, Tampa Bay, this time at home next Sunday at 1 p.m. Tampa does fall to New England earlier today, and now that puts the Bills in a bit of a bind here. It is going to be a tough road to get the AFC East crown for a sixth straight year. I think right now what we're looking at is more just get in the playoffs. I think today with Indianapolis picking up another win, Denver picks up another win, New England picks up another win, it is far more of getting to the playoffs. You know, hope the seeding falls right for you. Keep picking up wins, of course. I'm not saying give up on the season. Again, this is their ninth game they've played. But the way New England season is going, it's going to be really hard for them now to get the division. It is.
Before you keep going on this, we'll call this Bruin Around the League. Brought to you by Thin Man Brewery. And their new Mafia Light, the official beer of Buffalo football tailgates.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes down to it, yeah, now you're at make the playoffs. Figure it out. See if you can mess around as the 5 seed and cause some chaos. And yet now here I am sitting here with this roster that I had wondered a couple weeks ago. Is this the one that you go all in with? Really? This is the one?
I'm so up and down about it. Every week, I feel like I'm changing my feelings on the roster. The injuries aren't helping,
because what
but it is performances like this where you can't leave with any positives, really.
What's the saving grace on the 1 seed entering today? Well, the rest of the AFC is weird.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with them.
Yeah. It has far less to do with the Bills and much more to do with the entire AFC.
That's not a team you invest several first-round picks with. It's not. It's not. And yet, at the same time, this is also the roster that you want to make sure gets better. Because you don't want to be accused of sitting on your hands, right? So maybe you do give up that first-round pick this year for that. It's conflicting, but I can see the other side of it. Of this isn't the roster to do this with this year. They might be picking at 20.
Right. It might just flat out not be the year. The injuries, as we brought up today, they'd pick up potentially another long-term injury in Dalton Kincaid. He leaves this game early with a hamstring. Last week it was Hoyt with the Achilles. The week prior it is Ed Oliver with a bicep. They are mounting, and it's only going to make problems. I didn't mention Landon Jackson. He goes out in the first series today with a knee injury. That's probably his season.
Second play of the game.
And so the injuries have compounded. It has gotten to a point, yeah, where it's just you're looking at the roster going, yeah, it's hard to say, yeah, it's this year. It's not to this extent, but Detroit last year, they were surviving on defense until they couldn't anymore.
And they've had 8 starters on defense at least miss a game. Not be on injured reserve, all of them, but they've had 8 different starters on defense missing a game. And you even get one of these guys, one of these valuable depth pieces back from a suspension. He plays incredible for you for 7 quarters. Achilles tear. I'm not going to go ahead and say that the season's doomed, but this is also not the circumstance that you pay your futures for. But that said, if the right deal's in place, maybe you do it.
Well, like, if, for example,
it is Jalen Waddle can be yours for a first round pick, and it's this year, not next year, take it or leave it. You hope that a late first round pick is Jalen Waddle. Clear as day, right? Like, that's the it's the Family Guy mystery box thing.
Right.
Ah, it could be a boat. We'll take the box.
Right. And Waddle's 6th overall. Like, if he's got all the talent in the world. He has really popped off since Tyreek Hill's gotten hurt. He has been very good since then.
He's his own good receiver.
And I will say, those are the kind of players, and when I say that, it means he would be part of the future going forward. He's 26. You would have him for the next run of guys. Like you said, you hope your first-round pick is Jalen Waddle ever, if that's the position you're going for. You could have had him, or maybe could have had him. I don't want to say that definitively. You maybe could have had him, and maybe that doesn't change a ton today. I think it would have. I think that's demoralizing for the Dolphins. It's more of a sign that they're done this year. And the players are human. That is going to sit in your craw of like, cool, like, what are we even doing here? For the Bills, it is probably gratifying to know that your GM believed in you and is going to add this other piece for you. A player that has been a problem. A guy that you've had to game plan against for years. Now all of a sudden he's on your side of the field. Fantastic. Let's
and
go.
For years, he signed an extension.
And it's one of those things where, like I mentioned, I'm up and down with the roster. I like the rookies. I like a lot of what I'm seeing from the young guys. And it's only one player. That's not going to make you a Super Bowl team. Unless it's a quarterback, that's not going to make you a Super Bowl team right away. But it adds a different dimension for them. And Waddle would have been Rashid Shaheed plus. Because what did I say today with Max Harrison? Hey, you did great in the worthy assignment. Now today you're going to get the better wide receiver.
You're going to get a better
who's
receiver.
Who's also fast. You're going to get the guy that is just flat out better at his job. Have fun. And it was a tough day at the office for Harrison. How does that go if he's not even on the Dolphins, that he's on the Bills? Maybe he doesn't do anything today because maybe he doesn't even leave Miami. We're going to meet you there in a few days. So he's kind of just a body there, more of a distraction. We're going to send him on a few routes. That opens up the offense a little bit more. It's just like I agree and disagree a little bit with you don't want to buy in because this roster doesn't look great and the injuries have been picked up and so maybe you want to hoard that draft capital. I also look at it too of he's 26 and my quarterback's 30 and you're 6-2. You can catapult yourself into maybe playing better than your talent is going to allow you to.
Yeah. It's one of those things where I'm more or less looking at the overall scope of this roster, the amount of injuries that have hit them this time around, and thinking to myself, this is not the year to do it. And yet, the player that is available also screams, no, that's a longer-term investment too.
Right, I get him. It's cheap now because it's
this isn't Chris Olave on the end of a contract.
Right.
This isn't Rashid Shaheed, who's just a guy. This is a top-tier wide receiver in the NFL that can be had. All you have to do is move up the draft pick by a year. That's the other side of the coin that makes it frustrating. It's this unhappy medium right now. To where, yeah, they are 6-3. They probably will make the playoffs. They might be the fifth or sixth seed. Dear God, if they're the seven. Because it would be malpractice to miss a playoffs for 1 year with a healthy quarterback.
803-0550, the number to call. Let's get connected to our fans. We will be doing for the next 45 to an hour or so. It is powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. We go back to the phones. Jack is up first this hour. Jack, how we doing, man?
Hey, great, guys. You know what? Calling down from down in Inverness, Florida, and I'm hoping this cold weather that's coming down here gets super cold after today. just something from Buffalo has to turn around in Florida. But here's the problem I see. I'm watching the game. It was really lethargic. Our offense wasn't hitting. You got some turnovers. Hopefully we got the turnover bug game out of the way now. Hopefully it's done. It's over with. No more of these turnover games for us. But, as I'm watching the game and I'm sitting here, I'm listening to you guys over this, the last 20 minutes here and, the injuries, that's the major thing. And, my 14-year-old son brings it to my attention that I'm not 100% sure if it's at this moment or through the season, but he mentioned something like 20 guys on IR for our team. I mean, you cannot go in and be a dominant force when you got guys dropping to IR left and right and your backups are beat up. I mean, I'm just hoping at this point, right now, the division, great if we could gain it back. If not, focus on the playoffs, focus on getting healthy, maintain that, momentum that you have right now, and, get some of the spotlight from the media off of us, let our guys heal, and let's hit it hard in the postseason. I mean, I'll hang up and listen to what you guys got to say.
Jack, thanks for the call. I don't know if it's as high as 20. I know they're in the double digits. I think it's like 11 or 12. We'll see now with guys like Landon Jackson as well and Dalton Kincaid. They both could. We have no idea yet. We'll learn more probably tomorrow. It's tough. They're not really in the position to get healthy gear for the postseason. They are closer to a spot of they're fighting for a playoff spot. They play well for 2 weeks. They have a stinker the next. And they don't have any reprieve. They play Tampa, albeit at home, but Tampa Bay. Baker Mayfield is playing as like one of the best quarterbacks in football. They just do not have the reprieve. And this is an AFC that 11-6 probably gets in the playoffs, I think almost definitely. But if all of a sudden you fall to 10-7, because let's not forget, they still have the Eagles on the roster. They have New England again, Tampa, as I mentioned. It's a little bit harder here down the stretch. And, I want them to get healthy too, but yeah, I mean, you look at some of the guys that are on IR. Dwayne Carter, second-year defensive tackle. Damar Hamlin, one of your backup safeties. Michael Hoyt, who in seven quarters looked like a game-changer on defense. Ed Oliver, who every game he started this year had a sack. Taylor Rapp, another one of your safeties. TJ Sanders, your second-round pick in which you traded up for. And Dorian Strong, who we have no idea what's going on there, but the update we did get on him recently was not good for McDermott.
It was not positive, and also was a player that held his own in the first week that he had to start against the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, so, I mean, they are just picking up injury after injury, and it's guys that should be playing a crucial
and
role for them.
It's all on one side of the football.
Yeah.
It's not the one that.
A lot on defense.
Not that one who has, quite frankly, struggled the majority of it for the losses this season.
And that's where maybe he's more dejected. I mean, I mentioned, I know Josh Palmer's down, but I'm watching a defensive unit grind it out and just. They're not playing the best football in
the
world.
They're not playing the best
today.
Football.
They are missing tackles, and it doesn't look pretty. I'm not denying that.
Today's probably not the day for my scotch tape and paper clips.
Right. But they are also piecemealing at times together and just trying to put a unit on the field. We've had multiple times where, Atlanta, they've got three defensive tackles dressed because Daquan Jones gets hurt in warmups. Today, Daquan Jones plays a snap at edge because they just do not have the bodies.
Yeah, they had only three defensive ends for the entire game because Jackson's hurt Landon Jackson's hurt on the second play from scrimmage.
Yeah, I mean, like, but that's where the offense is more alarming. And to that as well, I know what the numbers say, that they're like a top five scoring offense. It's not really a doubt, right? Most games they are going to put up a lot. They were also one of the better scoring offenses with Ken Dorsey. But we could all see the problems. A great quarterback and a great running back, or just a few great players, they're going to score points in the NFL. It's when you look and go, there is no off-speed pitch. They have kind of one motion here. For the Bills, it is, if the run game's going, they are a snowball going down a hill. They can get really difficult to stop really fast. If the run game is not going, they can struggle, and they will struggle for 3 hours.
But that first part, hence how you end up fifth in the league in scoring.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do become a snowball, and you just beat down a bad team.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, Carolina didn't ask for that 40-point barrage. Seven of those points should have been scored via an interception, but A.J. Epenesa's tackled at the one-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
That's points for the offense. It is the second part. But now, Zach, I'm really wondering something. You mentioned it. Ken Dorsey was also a coach that they are productive numbers-wise, but you could see the problems. Joe Brady's offense is starting to look like that. It's productive, but you can see some of the problems. General manager's the same through both of those.
Right. I mean, I've brought this up, and today didn't change my mind on this at all. I think Joe Brady's gone after this year. I'm not saying he's fired. I think he gets another job. There's too many big-time college head coaching jobs opening up. There's going to be more NFL coaching jobs opening up. Clint Kubiak in Seattle is going to be the other hot offensive coordinator name that's going to be up there. But Brady's got two connections into the big college jobs, LSU and Penn State. Mm-hmm. I think he's gone. I've been pointing to Mike McDaniel being the guy that I want. I hope the Dolphins fire him because I think that'd be a perfect fit. He runs the Shanahan system. The Bills want to still run the ball with James Cook. He's one of their elite players, of course, but they also like to use tight ends. George Kittle. They have Dalton Kincaid, and they want to use speed. Boom.
That would require then the general manager to bring in.
But I think they have gone at times way too much in-house. I think you can get into an echo chamber a little bit there, and it is a problem. I mean, no one brings his name up anymore because I think he's just kind of a forgotten character. But Bobby Babich, there's real signs he's no longer calling the plays at least 100% of the time on defense in his second year.
Yeah, you can kind of tell almost when there's almost this philosophical shift going on in a game now. And you go, okay, maybe McDermott's being a little bit more suggestive if he is helping him.
Yeah, I think they do go in-house too many times. And look, the most obvious one, how many times do they bring back former players
just to fill roles? They bring back former players?
I mean, I'm not saying they're the only team in the NFL that does it.
We had a caller saying he's scared that they're going to sign Isaiah McKenzie.
I know. I'm not saying they're the only team that does it. I guarantee you it's a big thing across the NFL. We all just know these players. We have seen these players for years. We know them. Other teams probably do it as well. I think, though, the Bills do it too much in every aspect. I understand trusting your organization. They have been one of the more successful ones in the NFL for years.
I think, but there's also too many much of them starting.
Yeah.
Be it by circumstance or by original design entering the season.
Yep.
Real quick, as we keep things going here, just want to remind everyone that tomorrow on WGR, it is a Buffalo Bills Football Monday presented by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe break the game down in the morning. Then it is the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio from 10 till noon, followed by One Bills Live. Chris Brown and Steve Tasker take over at 12 p.m., and then Shope and Bulldog follow it right up at 3 o'clock. Former Bills center Eric Wood joins them at 4. Then at 7:30, Westwood One presents the Eagles and the Packers on Monday Night Football. Buffalo Bills Football Monday all day tomorrow on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
803-0550, the number to call. Let's get one more call in here before we take our next timeout. Anthony is on the line. Anthony, how we doing, man?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Doing well, doing well.
So I wanted to bring up this point, man. You know, Josh Allen's a superstar in this league, and I've mentioned this a couple weeks ago, and I feel like Josh Allen should start demanding more out of his head coach, Sean McDermott, and more out of Brandon Bean, you know, because they're wasting him, you know, in his prime. And it's very obvious to a lot of us Bills fans that it seems like they are wasting him. And they need to get him help, man. It's ridiculous how they're treating him. And like I said, I just feel like he should start demanding more. And then the other thing I want to bring up is, I don't know, I'm up and down on this. I feel like there may be time to move on from Brandon Bean, you know, because mm-hmm. Brandon Bean, you know, it seems like he didn't try hard enough to get Josh Allen help.
Anthony, I can agree with you on a few of those points. I think we are teetering towards that point of like, what are they doing with Allen's career? I will say he's not the only, and this is not, I'm not exonerating him of any blame, and thank you for the call. He's not the only one. We took a call a little while ago, and I wish I kind of would have jumped a little bit on it, not interrupting him, but just talked about it. You know, if we had T. Higgins and Jamar Chase would be undefeated. Ask the Bengals. They've ignored defense and offensive line for years to the point where it literally doesn't matter that they can score 40 points. They're losing games.
They actually have scored over, I think it was, 38?
Yeah, it kind of doesn't matter.
In consecutive weeks, and they lost.
You know, Allen is not the only quarterback in the AFC suffering. That's why I do bring up, though, the AFC at large seems to be the sick man of Europe, where not that long ago, man, they were the powers. I mean, just Mahomes, Allen, Jackson, Baltimore, Buffalo, Kansas City. They were Burrow and Cincinnati. For a blip there, everyone wanted to be them. And then you threw in the Rams for 1 year because they're like, F them picks. That was really cool. But everyone wanted to be the big three in the AFC. It does seem like that is now a long time ago. Baltimore's defense is a wreck. And they've also gone internal for the defensive coordinator hire with Zach Orr. That has been a huge miss. Kansas City is not changing over the roster like you'd think. I mean, I joked in the chat earlier this morning, but Keon Coleman versus Xavier Worthy, that conversation to me is no longer interesting because I think it's a mid-off. I don't think either are very good receivers. One is just very fast. The other was a pretty good blocker. They both have skills, just not enough for me to
really
warrant
an argument.
They both
have an advantage, but the other thing is that the two of them are kind of they're a min-maxer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Coleman is able to use his size to block well. It should also be able to translate with the high pointing of a ball, but sometimes that doesn't work either. He does have the one touchdown with that, but there were a couple of those back shoulders that he just doesn't get
around. I think that play is a waste of time.
It is a waste of time. But then Worthy, min-maxer. It's straight line speed. That's it. That's all you're getting.
And he'll scare the hell out of you. And you have to – and look, that was the thing I was with Rashid Shaheed where it was like, hey, you at least have to respect that deep ball.
Yeah.
It's the same with Mahomes and Worthy. I'm not denying that. But, like, you're not really getting anything out of either of them. I do think, though, the Bills need to do more. I will tell you, though, I think Bean thinks he's helping Allen by getting more on the defense. They've done a wonderful job on the offensive line that should not be ignored. James Cook is an elite running back. Where they have really missed is the wide receiver position. It is brought up to death on this station. I am not denying that. There are many a days where I am with people going, enough. It's my favorite position in sports, and yet I'm done talking about it. But to that point,
there is a big board staring at me like I owe him money.
Yeah, but to that point, there's a reason why it is constantly brought up. It is the fact that the GM not only got angry on the station because it was being brought up, but then really wanted to pound the table for Josh Palmer, a number three receiver in the Chargers. They go and draft Keon Coleman, who may be a good receiver in the league, but I know for certain the Bills are using him poorly. At this point, I know for certain they're not using him correctly. He is not a boundary guy. When he is in the middle of the field is when he is at his best.
Right.
And then you even go back to years prior of Trent Sherfield and Deontay Hardy as free agent acquisitions, ultimately being nothing. You know, and even guys, too, that they can bring in and you go, look at what they did at this place and that place. Like, we're bringing him in with Josh Allen. It'd be amazing. Elijah Moore and Curtis Samuel. And you're not getting any of it. I think that is a mix of the offensive coordinator not knowing what to do with this talent. And then to that point, I'm putting talent loosely because I don't think they have enough at that position. If Coleman had hit or they go get Ladd McConkey, maybe we're having an entirely different conversation. And maybe it really is just, no, they're fine. Like, McConkey's getting open. This is great. Everything's working. But for where they're at now, they have so wildly missed on that position. It's unsurprising now, looking back at it, that they were big game hunting. I didn't think they were willing to change the quote-unquote narrative is maybe not the right way to put it, but philosophy on the offense. The reports from Tom Pelissero and around the NFL, Diana Rossini as well, points to, no, they were willing to do it at least somewhat quietly. A trade not, you know, being maybe the loudest quiet thing you could do. But they were ready to change. They kind of acknowledged they've messed this up. But it's 2 years since Stephon Diggs has been traded. They have not adequately replaced him, even remotely.
Don't forget, tonight at 8 o'clock, so about a half hour's time from now, on WGR Sports Radio 550, Westwood One presents the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Los Angeles Chargers. Sunday Night Football on WGR is brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case and buy Armor Heat. Do it right the first time. Got about a half hour here left on the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. Transitown Jeep Ram, Buffalo's home for Jeep and Ram for 60 years and counting. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones here with you. Hanging with us? We appreciate it. This is WGR.
Looking right, now left, going deep down the sideline for Coleman, back shoulder complete, reaches for the pylon, he's in for the touchdown! Keon Coleman with a huge touchdown grab!
Chris Brown in there on the call. A little weird. Like, we've been bashing the receivers, Coleman does have a nice touchdown, however, it's 8 targets, he has 3 catches. It is not a very efficient day for Coleman, 46 yards and that score as well.
Correct.
But, man, not a very efficient day for Coleman at all. The receivers, again, McDermott outright acknowledges in the postgame, guys have to get open. That's where they're at. When Kincaid went down, they just did not really have much else. Curtis Samuel has 1 catch today off 1 target for 21 yards. Elijah Moore, 2 targets, 2 catches, 9 yards. They kind of got Ty Johnson going in the passing game, 2 for 24. And so with all that, I'm the quarterback. Josh Allen, tough day for him, but it's brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. He does have the 306, 28 yep. for 40, but man, it felt like he had to earn every little bit of that, and he was not perfect today.
No.
There were moments, yeah, he had great throws. Kincaid has 1 drop after it starts pouring and he has the gloves taken off, but gloves kind of didn't matter. Like, hit him in the bicep.
He went for an arm catch on that, and it ricochets right off the wet bicep and going, gone. I do think if it's not raining in that scenario, the way he's trying to catch it, it probably gives him a little brush burn, but he might be able to reel it in.
Yeah, a little different.
It might be a little different, but if he looks it in a little bit better, I think he's got that one.
Yeah, 306 yards, 2 touchdowns. It's the turnovers, though. 1 pick, which is in the end zone. He's targeting Dawson Knox on that play. Not a good throw. It also looked like Knox...
It looked like it
was embellishing a little bit, or something had happened where his arms go up. It looks
Knox
like he
goes
going
one way, so to say, and Allen throws to where Knox is not.
Yep. And then the fumble when Allen, it's on 3rd down, they do that, correct? Yeah, it's not a 4th down, it's 3rd down. He gets a ton extra, and right at the end, after I think he gains 14 extra yards, popped out. I mean, look, they didn't deserve to win today. There's no doubt about it. But if those 2 turnovers don't happen, we might be talking about a 17-16 Bills win. And, ooh, thank goodness, they're 7-2. We move on. Is there any score you'd be mad about that they won? Let's test that out. Instead, we're sitting here looking at a 30-13 loss. And a game they never held the lead, never really looked all that competitive. And, yeah, they go into the half, down 16?
16-0.
They're never really in a good spot. And even then, it just is never good for the Bills, even though, and Derek, you brought it up right at the start of the show. If you would have told me Allen's stats of 28 for 40, 306, and 2 touchdowns, I'm thinking we won. You throw in that interception, you throw in the fumble, we're having a different conversation.
The funny thing is that the Bills do make this a 10-point game. They try to go for 2 to make it a 1-possession game. It's on the heels of a 98-yard drive. So mm-hmm. Now you're like, okay, is this really going to happen here? Like you just said, testing the question of, okay, what kind of score and a win would you be mad about? Well, let's find out. And then that Allen fumble happens because Tua throws a pick immediately the next drive. So there's a 98-yard touchdown drive, an interception, and then the QB tush-push, snowplow, whatever you want to call it, rugby play.
Mm-hmm.
That Allen does eventually fumble on it. And you see him on the bench saying, I should have gone down. Acknowledging it. And that is that's the style of the warrior right there.
I think that also, though, how the game was being played at that point, he needed to do everything and more. Because they weren't getting the running game going with James Cook. He really could not get – he has a fumble as well today. They could not get that going. There's a number of plays here. Allen just kind of prayer balls and it works to keep them in it. It makes sense that he is thinking, I got to fight for every single yard. He's had to do it the whole game up to that point. It's what he's had to do.
Right.
It was a bad, bad, bad day at the office. I think for me, inarguably the worst game of this year up to this point. And probably the worst game in the last few years, knowing the opponent and knowing the situation.
Don't forget, tomorrow on WGR, it is a Buffalo Bills Football Monday presented by Northwest Bank for what's next. Get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe breaking down the game for you at 6 in the morning. Then it's the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, 10 to noon. One Bills Live follows that up with Chris Brown and Steve Tasker at noon. Chauvin Bulldog get it going at 3 o'clock. Former Bills center Eric Wood joining them at 4 p.m. Then at 7:30 tomorrow night, Westwood One presents the Eagles at the Packers for Monday Night Football. Buffalo Bills Football Monday all day tomorrow on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. We'll take a timeout here, and we'll head to the locker room to hear from head coach Sean McDermott, as we will end up going to the locker room there, as we usually do here on the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. I'm Derek Kramer. He's Zach Jones. You're listening to WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. Transitown Jeep Ram, Buffalo's home for Jeep and Ram for 6 years and counting. The Bills lose 30-13 at the hands of the Miami Dolphins. And, well, I mean, we do tend to play back from the locker room. Head coach Sean McDermott, it's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. But don't forget that tonight at 8 o'clock, WGR Sports Radio 550, Westwood One presents the Steelers at the Chargers. Sunday Night Football on WGR is brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor when you need to stock up. It is the place to buy a case and buy Armor Heat. Do it right the first time. Now we go to head coach Sean McDermott following the Bills' loss this afternoon.
Okay, credit to the Dolphins. We didn't play well enough today. and didn't play a complimentary game. We came out, started slow. I think we had four or five three and outs there in the first half. Picked it up a little bit in the second half, turned the ball over. Defensively, I thought we did some good things. And then we gave up two big runs towards the end there. So a lot to work on, a lot to improve. So we learned from it.
John, on Wednesday, Brandon said he believed that the roster was of championship quality or championship caliber. After a performance like that, what is your confidence level that that is indeed the case?
I love these players. I love these players. I do. I love the guys in that locker room.
Why do you think, and a couple of the guys mentioned coming out flat, for lack of a better term, or maybe just not ready at the start the way they needed to be, given where you guys are in the standings in the playoff race, where they are, quite frankly, at 2-7, how does that happen against a team like that, knowing the situation that you guys are in?
Well, it's a week-to-week league. You got to bring your A game every week. We talk about that a lot. We really do. And we work our tails off during the week to come out, to your point, and play better and coach better and perform better overall. It didn't happen.
You had said during the week that you had liked the attitude that you had seen, particularly from the bye week to now, that you had seen an improvement in that regard. Do you feel like that took a step backwards today?
Yes.
Yep. Coach, you always talk about, it starts up front, battle of the line of scrimmage. What were your observations of the line of scrimmage battle?
And it's not that, Jay, it's not that the guys weren't trying out there. That's not what I'm saying, and that's not what I was alluding to before the bye. It's come out and control the game early and play a certain way with a certain style, and we didn't do that today. And so that's why we got the result we got, especially in the first half. And then we're chasing the game. They were in control of the game for the first half. And then in the second half, we were chasing the game, which is a hard way to play. And I thought we made some plays in the second half, not enough. And then we turned the ball over three times. It's tough to win in the NFL when you turn the ball over three times. So I want to make sure you understand the context of what I was saying.
Line of scrimmage is what you talk about a lot. It starts up front. Just what were your observations on both sides of the ball there at the line of scrimmage today?
Yeah, they got the run game going early and wanted to control the game. And I thought then we calmed it down a little bit in the second quarter and beyond. And then 8 minutes to go, I think roughly they have 16 points. It's second down and I believe second seven, something like that. And they pop a run. And then pretty much the game was over after that. So I thought the defense battled. We lose Landon there and playing DQ out at end a little bit to help us. Got some guys banged up, but no excuses. We battled. Those guys were battling. Then, like I said, I think we were down 10 at that point, and then they popped the run. So just trying to get the ball back. So looked like we had somebody in the hole right there. And, he's elusive. A-Shane, give him credit.
What did you make of Josh's day?
I made some, like Josh style plays. I mean, he made some amazing plays, which he does. Just overall as an offense, it's never one person, just getting off to a faster start in a rhythm, controlling the line of scrimmage, being a two-dimensional offense. So got to look at the tape, but just moving the chains. Got to move the chains in order to keep the defense off the field. I think we had the ball five or six times in the first half. I think four or five of those drives, 9 minutes total maybe, with between those drives, which is we're not holding the ball long enough. So we got to look at the film and figure out why we're not moving the chains enough right there and doing so, controlling the game.
There are going to be times when you get behind the sticks on offense. What do you need to see from your group that allows you to overcome those situations? Because it's been a through line in the games where you guys have struggled offensively.
Right, so first identifying what is causing us to get behind the sticks. Is it penalties? Is it negative plays and how they're being created? And then secondly is getting back on track. It's hard to convert third and 11-plus in this league, and so you've got to get yourself back on schedule. How you do that is by game plan, depending on how the defense presents itself. But just too many third down and longs and one-dimensional type situations.
Sean, I know you end up putting up numbers offensively as it goes along, but was the passing game good enough for most of the game when the running game maybe wasn't there?
Yeah, I'm not worried about numbers. I'm not worried about numbers. Those aren't real numbers. I'm worried about moving the ball, controlling the game, playing our style of football on a more consistent basis, and that's what we got to make sure we get back to.
Sean, granted that you have to watch today's game back on film, but even before this, the passing offense has been having difficulties moving the ball in chunks down the air. So have you been able to put your finger on why that is and why you have been able to go to it when you've kind of needed it too?
Again, just consistency, rhythm, I think, overall. I feel like, Joe, in order to really dissect today's performance, I'd have to look at it. But I felt like there were some things and there were some times where we weren't open. So it's a combination of the two, right? So it's, again, never one thing. And Mike, going back to your question, I mean to cut you off, it's just I'm not really into yards. I'm into real yards in the meat of the game and moving the football. And we didn't do a good enough job there.
Sean, you mentioned the injury to Landon. You know, that, what happens last week to Hoyt, you understand comes with playing football. The number of guys you've had out, though, because of soft tissue stuff, hamstrings, groins, calves, has that been problematic for you, and is that something that organizationally you need to take a look at to prevent as much as is preventable, as possible?
Yeah, and I said this, Jay, when you guys were asking me about the trades on, was it Wednesday or so, and you always want quality players. They help you, right? And the more we kind of get into the injuries and some of the guys that are going out, you go down the depth chart. And so I appreciate the way that guys have stood up and stepped in and taken advantage of their opportunities. But you're knocking down. You're getting down the list on there. So, but we will never use injuries as an excuse. We do need to continue to turn over every stone to figure out why this is happening. I feel like it's happened quite a bit year to year. This year is probably as much as I've been around. So, I don't know I don't know what it is. I really don't. But we've got to figure that piece out pretty quickly here, and then year to year.
Is it a bit frustrating to have not, hammered down as to why the passing offense hasn't been able to get it going consistently? I mean, you're now through week 10 and encroaching on the end of the season here, so mm-hmm. Is that a frustrating facet for you?
Well, it is, because it's an important part of our offense. We've got a great quarterback, and you want to be able to move the ball two-dimensionally, and we should be able to move the ball with Josh through the air, but it can't just be one phase of your offense. It's got to be two working, in concert with one another. So you guys know I say this quite a bit. It starts up front with the line of scrimmage, controlling the line of scrimmage early, and that sets up other things. So that's what I look at first, is are we controlling the line of scrimmage, and then how does that set up our passing game? So, no, they go hand in hand. Okay. All right, thank you.
That was head coach Sean McDermott from the That was Bills head coach Sean McDermott from the locker room, brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. For Zach Jones, I'm Derek Kramer. This has been the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. Transitown Jeep Ram, Buffalo's home for Jeep and Ram for 60 years and counting. Jeremy and Joe at 6 a.m. for you here on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.